Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Brock Purdy has 6 touchdown passes and 6 interceptions in his last 7 starts. Has the league caught up to him? We'll discuss that and more next on 49ers After Dark. Good evening. Welcome to 49ers After Dark. We're your hosts, Grant Cohn, Jesse Naylor. Make sure you like the show and subscribe to both of our channels, Last Second Sports and mine. Tomorrow on my channel, we're having a four-man roundtable. Me, yeah. Jesse, Coach, and Ryan G. Hensley. So make sure you tune into that tomorrow. But tonight, talking about Brock and whether his stock is down, whether the league is caught up to him. We're going to save that one because that's going to make fans happy. It's what they want to hear. So let's start with something positive, like Kyle Shanahan being 1-9 against the best defensive coordinators in the league. Let's talk about that. Brian Flores among them. Now he's beaten Kyle twice in the last 2 years. You have some interesting numbers. Why don't you share them with the good people?
Yeah, I think the number that was floating around last year was Kyle Shanahan in his career is 1-9 against Schwartz. And that's a great stat. But Kyle Shanahan as a head coach is what I care about. And what does it look like recently? So when I look at Kyle Shanahan and you hear things like he's a genius, he's the best play caller, he's arguably the best coach in the NFL, if it's not for Andy Reid, I want to know what he looks like against his counterparts that are the best. And to me, the three best defensive coordinators in the league are Schwartz, Spags, and Flores. So what is his record as a head coach against those guys when they've been either a defensive coordinator or a head coach themselves? Kyle's 1-9 since taking over the San Francisco 49ers against those three. Even worse, he's only averaging 19.9 points a game and has scored more than 23 points just once out of those 10 games. There's something clear. And those three defenses are very aggressive. They have a lot of simulated pressure. They give his offense a lot of problems. It just makes you wonder. We're going to talk later about, you know, as the league figured out Brock Purdy, can the league figure out on the fly Kyle Shanahan a little bit? If other teams start to implement this, what is to say that they can't figure him out a little bit and kind of stifle this offense? I mean, we did see this offense sputter, and then they had to go get CMC, and the offense took off again. But I don't know, man. That's a pretty damning stat. Now, luckily, he doesn't play those guys every week. But Grant, 1-9 against the best of the best? That's not very encouraging.
No, not at all. And then when you factor in Mike McDonald, who looks like he might be the next of the best of the best, he just ruined Kyle Shanahan last year. So you're thinking, You know, Kyle's clearly a very good coach who can embarrass mediocre to bad coaches. And there's been a lot of them in the NFL. It seems like less and less. But when he goes up against the best of the best, it seems like he's outclassed, which means he's very good but not great, which would be reflected in his lack of rings.
I couldn't believe it. What hit me is yesterday, last night, I was doing kind of an impromptu show. And I was like, well, if he's 1-9 against Schwartz, then he's, you know, against Spags and Flores. I mean, we're probably talking about like 1-16 against those guys, which basically, if you include like his whole career, he is something like 1-16. But I don't think it's fair to include his whole career. I just wanted to see as a head coach. But it's, I mean, these guys clearly know something that is working very well against Kyle Shanahan in particular.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about it a little bit. Like, what is working? First of all, obviously, if you can stop the run, you're in good shape. But really, the Vikings didn't do a great job of stopping the run. They did at times, but the Niners still went for 100 yards and 5 yards a carry. It seems like the real key is you got to take away the play-action passing game. You got to. Those are the big plays through the air. If you can force the Niners into handoff or drop back, no play action, you're in a good spot. And I think teams have figured that out. And the way you can dissuade, like Kyle Shanahan barely called any play action passes against the Vikings in particular.
Yeah.
I asked him today, like, well, why'd you do that? He's like, well, you know, it's kind of hard when they're playing six on the line and blitzing. So if you do that, you sort of can take the Niners out of their bread and butter. He just said it. And it's like, so just by sort of alignment and calls, you can force the Niners into playing left-handed, going to the part of their playbook that is by far the weakest. Spagnuolo did it to the Niners in the Super Bowl. They were constantly in empty backfield formations with no threat of play action. And Flores did it the other day.
Well, it does a couple things, right? You don't even have to send six. You just have to show the threat of sending six. And that's enough for them to get out of it. And another thing, too, I want to point out that Brock Purdy himself did say that he's very comfortable going five wide and in shotgun. That's where he feels the most comfortable. So how much of this is Kyle Shanahan listening to his quarterback, which is a positive thing, by the way, to listen to where he is the most comfortable and saying, all right, so now you're taking play action away by proxy just for that reason. And then when you have these defenses showing 6-7 at the line, you're going to can out of it. And then not only that, because you have so many guys near the line of scrimmage, that's going to help against the run game. And so now all of a sudden you've turned into a pure drop back passing game. And I would say most people that watch Kyle Shanahan and are way smarter than I am always talk about, you know what, there, as great as Kyle Shanahan is, his straight drop back passing game is a bit archaic. It's not as great as people want to say that it is. And so now you're getting him literally at his biggest weakness. And it's caused him a lot of issues, clearly.
You know, like JT O'Sullivan, quarterback school, he does a great job breaking down what he sees on film and explaining it to people who aren't football experts. And he's also, so he's informative, but he's also very opinionated. And when he talks about Kyle's dropback passing game, he almost ridicules it. I mean, he doesn't really speak about it with respect. Although where I think he does with the running game and the play action game. So you always want to take away what an offense does best. And with Kyle, it's clearly the play action game. So if you can get him to go straight drop back, which Flores did the other day and Spagnuolo did in the Super Bowl, you're probably going to win. He doesn't often win that way. And it seems strange that he would just let a coordinator take him out of what he does best. I mean, maybe he's not aware that that's what he does best, but there needs to be some answer so you can continue to do play action. But it's like, I don't know. Does that mean block with eight, max protect? Is he okay with having two guys in a route, or is that not creative enough for him? I don't know.
Yeah, I think the other thing too is he's going to get a chance against Spags. And if he loses that game, all of a sudden 1-10. But the nice thing is you're not going to play either of those guys, Schwartz or Spags, until you get to a Super Bowl. Right? So hopefully you're not playing either of those teams. Now, Minnesota just got really interesting because they're only presumably going to get healthier. I mean, they made a final drive of that game with their three best receivers completely out. Hockenson was already out entering the game. Addison was already out. Jefferson was out. If they put together a little run and sneak into the playoffs and you got to play that team, that might be your early exit, your unexpected early exit. So that's something that they've got to account for. They've got to figure out how to play it. But really my concern is long-term. If Kyle's going to be here for a while, and by all measures, he probably will be, you've got two really young, bright-minded defensive coaches in this division. They're going to figure out, hey, this is where he struggles, and they're going to implement those things, and they're going to improve the roster to be able to do it eventually. So You get 2 years down the line, the 49ers offensive weapons take a step back. You've paid Brock Purdy. The weaponry's not there. And then these other teams in Gannon and with Arizona and McDonald in Seattle, they know the recipe to success. And it's like, well, now you're not even able to win your division anymore because these two guys are stifling you every time you play.
Let me just figure it out. Kyle said when I asked him about not calling play action as much, I said, is there something defenses are showing you that leads you to calling more drop back pass? And he says, just schematic reasons, who we are going against, what's good versus these teams. Sometimes play action doesn't do much with six on the line, on the defensive line, doesn't do much for a lot of blitzes, things like that. So that a little factored to do with, man, sometimes the way he talks. So that a little factored to do with the last week, I'd say the week before running it 38 times limits everything a little bit. So essentially what he's saying is like, he likes to take advantage of those off-ball linebackers who are reading keys in the run game, but also dropping back in the passing game, and they're in conflict, and he gets them to play the run, and then the dig behind him is open, and he does it all the time. But if they're blitzing and they're not reading as much, it seems like the play action just slows you down.
Well, luckily, this week, he's got more of that matchup that he's looking for, and so I think this offense can really look good against a banged up Rams team. So they are fortunate in that manner. But yeah, man, it's a thing. It's officially a thing. 1-9 is that's real. There's something real to that.
Well, let's look ahead to this upcoming week. Rams, they're decimated by injuries, but they still have great quarterback, great coach, and they're desperate. They're 0-2. Their season's almost over. And if they lose this game, statistically, it might be over. I don't know what the odds of making the playoffs after starting 0-3 are, but it's probably extremely low. So it's a must-win game for the freaking Rams. Is it a must-win game for the 49ers?
I don't think in a traditional sense it's a must-win game, like you can't make the playoffs. But I've heard you bring this up a few times, and I've certainly brought it up as well over on my channel. The 49ers... yes, everybody points to, well, they've started 3-5 and they've started 2-4, and they have. But those teams also didn't get a much needed bye week, and those teams didn't make it past the NFC Championship. The only two times they've made it to a Super Bowl is when they have had the bye week. So from that standpoint, if you give the Rams life, first of all, a healthy Rams team is a very, very good team. You give them any chance to make the playoffs because of this early season win that they didn't deserve to even be in the game, you're adding another team that can be very, very dangerous and give you problems in the playoffs, for one. For two, you're probably kissing the number one seed goodbye, unfortunately, with a horrible loss like this. And number three, you've got a Seattle team that is 2-0. And you look at the schedule, there's a really good chance they're going to be 4-1 heading into that, maybe 5-0, but most likely 4-1 headed into that Thursday night game on the road in Seattle for the 49ers. And if the 49ers somehow drop that one and are 1-2 in the division with three losses, looking up at a Seattle team with only one loss, you might not win the division. So I don't think, as far as making the playoffs, it's a must win. But as far as actually making it deep and winning a Super Bowl, these wins matter. And you cannot lose to a bad team right now. I mean, the Rams are decimated. This cannot be a loss. It just can't.
And I wonder if it's a trap game, because you look at it as like the Rams have no chance. They have none of their good players. There's no way they're going to win. But we kind of wrote off the Vikings too. The Vikings clearly are a much better team than the Rams right now. But the way that the Vikings offense could go down the field at the end against the Niners without Justin Jefferson or Jordan Addison or TJ Hockenson on the field, and the quarterback being freaking Sam Darnold, like, no offense, but he's a game manager who's just starting to figure out how to not lose games all the time. So that guy, with not a lot of talent around him, but basically just a running game and a nice scheme, move the ball against the Niners. So now you have Matthew Stafford with the same scheme, the guy who taught the Vikings the scheme, and nothing around him, nothing. But if they can run the ball, they have a chance. Look at the Vikings. And they haven't really run the ball yet this year, but the Niners' run defense is suspect. Ty Chandler looked like Bo Jackson. So that's one thing to look at. The other thing I'm looking at in this game is the Rams' defense. It's been so bad, man. And I don't know what their excuse is. They've lost a couple of DBs, but it's just so bad. So even without Debo and Christian, I think the Niners' offense should look good.
Yeah, I mean, they should look good enough for sure.
Jordan Mason could go for 200. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, he definitely could. And Kyle Shanahan, we know he's probably going to lean towards Conley. But man, if you get in a player like Cowing and his skill set, he really could be a difference maker, an absolute difference maker. I think my bold prediction was that he's going to score a touchdown this week, a 60-plus yard touchdown. I think he's plus 700 to do so. So that's, you know, if you want to have some skin in the game. But I think that Jacob Cowing is that explosive and could really help bring some explosion back to the game. And one thing that is a good observation by you when you were talking to Rob earlier, you were talking about how these guys aren't yak monsters and how the 49ers are going to have to win differently. But if Jacob Cowing can be the over-the-top guy, and Ayuk can go back to what he was more in college, where he was a yak guy, you still can have a little bit of that also element in your game. And Kittle, of course. Yes,
for
of course,
sure. Kittle. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. There was something I wanted to say before I moved on. I just lost it. Damn it. It was so good. It was really smart. Some
ginkgo biloben or whatever that's called.
Oh, it'll come back to me. I'm not going to give up on this. It's going to come back to me. Dave Barkley says, love you guys. Long time no see, Jesse. Hashtag trade Kyle.
Yeah, super long, man.
Too much sauce says, for fantasy this week, I'm going to start CMC, Ricky Pearsall, Debo Samuel, and LaMichael James.
Michael James.
What about Carlos nice. Hyde? Don't sleep on Carlos.
He goes
Carlos.
By LaMike now. LaMike, just so
you know. Oh, he does? Oh, he rebranded himself. That's cool. Dave Barkley says, what are we saying? 1-9. Is that going to be us?
No. That is Kyle Shanahan against the three best defensive play callers in this league.
Oh, here's what I wanted to say. Okay. This is important. Sorry, Jacob. Okay. I couldn't let you off the hook on this one. I don't think he should return punts anymore. I'm going to say that.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he should. He's explosive, but he really muffed that punt. That was bad. And then and you're thinking, well, he won't do that again. But that's what Harbaugh was thinking with Kyle Williams. And then he did. You know what I'm saying? You can't mess around with this stuff. And I'm just going to say this today. I'm allowed to say this. I went out to practice. They're practicing. They warm up and stretch.
Please tell me Trent Taylor is not receiving these.
No. It's worse.
Okay.
So they go up to special teams next drill, and they start. It's time to catch punts. Drops the first one.
Oh, he dropped the first. Drops the first
one. Cowing. No one around him.
Oh, he's got
the yip. I
don't
know about this guy, man. He looks like he could be a nice player on offense, but as a punt returner. No, I wouldn't want to lose a game because of that. And if he's not catching it cleanly in practice and he can't do it, he's for sure not going to be able to do it in a game.
He's got the yips now. That's not good.
I've just seen twice, but I mean, damn, that's what more do you need? It only took twice for Kyle Williams never to return a punt again.
This is, there's a player that I liked who's very similar to Jacob Cowing. And the tiebreaker for me and why I wanted to draft this player over Cowing, and I had this long debate before the draft even started about this, Anthony Gold, receiver out of Oregon State, because he is an elite kick and punt returner. And I felt like he could just come in, plug into that role and be an immediate difference maker while trying to figure out the rest of his game. Jacob Cowing, I think, is very good, but they're similar stature. Jacob Cowing is not the dynamic punt and kick returner that Gold was, and that for me was the tiebreaker. Now they went with Cowing, probably thought he could do it, and I want him to, but if he's got the yips, man, there's, once you get in your own head with special team stuff, it's the strangest thing. Maybe just plug and play him on offense a little bit, but that's not good.
So I wanted to say that about Cowing, but before we wrap up this topic, is this a must-win game? I mean, you could argue that it is. Like, it really is for the Niners. If they lose this game, they're 1-2, but like losing back-to-back games to Sam Darnold and then to like the JV Rams, everyone knows this isn't the real Rams. No Puka Nacua, no Cooper Kupp. This is the JV Rams. If you go down to Levi's South and lose after paying Trent, paying Christian, paying Brandon, saying you're the best team in the league for a while. Like, it doesn't end your season. It's just beyond humiliating.
Yeah, it would be a major, major gut punch. Major gut punch.
It'd be a swift kick to the groin.
And I'm going to be at the game, and 49ers are kind of undefeated in the Shanahan era when I'm there. So if they lose this game, super embarrassing.
Can you imagine the morale in the locker room if they lose to the Rams?
No, I can't. No, I can't. I don't want to imagine it, actually. So I'm just going to act like it's not a possibility.
I don't want to go there. I like that. Let's make some sleeper picks and forget we even mentioned that. Okay. So last time I did sleeper picks, they weren't ready with the Niners action because they got to figure out who's going to be where in the pecking order. No Debo, no Christian. Let's see what they got lined up for Jordan Mason. 90 and a half rushing yards. He's such a monster. He, in his third career start, people are like, oh yeah, he's great. He's a Hall of Fame player. 90 and a half. More. Jesus. That's in serious inflation. You just start there? Damn.
That is a high number. I like the touchdown, though, the anytime touchdown. I'll go with
only
more
reason
on that.
I don't is because I feel like when they get close to the... No, I like it. I like it. Now that Debo's out and Christian's out, the touchdowns are going to have to come from someone.
From somewhere and someone on the ground. So why not Mason?
I like that. Okay, this is interesting. Ayuk, 66 and a half receiving yards. It's a very interesting number. 66 and a half.
If the 49ers are going to win this game, and I believe they will, he's going to need more than 66 and a half. So I will go more. I think he's going more. He has to.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you in this one?
9.5.
Okay, in that case.
I feel really
all right, in that case, no hesitation. You put it like that. Jay Moody, not interested. George Kittle. What? How did Brock Purdy? What? Wait a second.
Oh, the combination is
blocked. The combination.
So you can choose rushing yards. Go to rushing. Yeah, go more. Go more.
8.5?
Please give me more. Yes.
Please run, Brock. You haven't been running.
Give me
more. You're playing like Jimmy, and I don't like it. Jawan Jennings, 34.5 receptions, receiving yards, 34.5.
It seems so clear that he would, but.
Oh. Oh,
especially without, I know, but it just
no. I'm over obvious.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, no, he's absolutely going over on this.
If we lose because Jawan Jennings gets everybody,
I've never been more confident in anything in my life. I still think he's going to outproduce Ayuk.
Okay,
all right. I do. That's my but I'm going with Ayuk more on both of them. Okay. Bosa. Juszczyk, no. Sober, no. Conley, I'd rather
let's
do
look at a Ram.
Man, we'll get to a Ram. I want to load up on this one, then flex it out. George Kittle, 48.5 receiving yards. Or at any time touchdown. See, Kittle, I would say more. When Debo's out, Kittle finally gets featured again. I mean, I don't know.
Okay, so the question is I don't think all three are going to go more. So
see,
somebody,
and I would bet against Ayuk. But you're gonna say it's gonna be a Kittle. No, you don't like.
No, I wanted this to be. So I think Kittle's gonna be more and Jawan's gonna be less. So
let's just say all of them are gonna be more and they're gonna put up 45.
Okay, I love it. Let's do
it. No problem. As they should. Okay, DeMarcus Robinson, their number one receiver, 37.5 receiving yards. You have to go over that, right? Are they gonna get like 17 targets? Who else are they gonna throw it to? Tutu Atwell?
Whittington.
Kobe Parkinson? I don't even know it. Colby. Colby. Is Ben Skowronek still on the team? No,
he's not.
Jordan Whittington had 0 yards in the last game. None. No touchdowns. Excuse me. Rodgers had 22. He had 22 last game. Watch out for Jordan. DeMarcus. No, he's got to have more. I'm saying more on DeMarcus.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's go more.
But what about Stafford? And that's the last one. What?
You can't do the combination.
All right.
Let's go interceptions.
Sure throwing a pick.
Yeah, let's go more on the interceptions.
Sure throwing a pick. All right. I like these picks. These are great picks. Okay, last one. Kyren Williams. We got to get an eighth. Can you do eight? I think you can do eight. Maybe not. Kyren
We're
Williams.
More.
63.5 rushing yards?
I do like that. I do like the 63.5.
Yeah?
He's struggled, but I'll tell you why. They're getting their left tackle back and their right tackle.
Okay.
And they've got their right guard. This is the healthiest their offensive line has been. So they have three of their five starters. And Bo Limmer, keep an eye on Bo Limmer. He was drafted this year. I thought the 49ers should have taken him. They decided not to because they went with what's the USC guy that they ended up bringing in? Who'd they draft in like round five? USC lineman. Kingston.
I have no idea. Kingston. Sixth round. Yes.
Yes. He's gone. Sixth round. They had Limmer.
I have one more pick I want to make.
They went with Kingston, and he's starting at center. So
go. Oh, interesting. I have one more pick I want to make.
What's up?
Jake Moody. It's been a field goal fest all throughout the league. Well, how about, I mean, why not? I think like anytime you could pick more on a field goal. No!
No! Shoot. Okay. Okay. Let's compromise. Let's compromise.
Okay.
Let's take Ayuk off the slip and go with Moody because you're not feeling good about Ayuk. You're not going to take Jennings off.
I'm not convicted about that.
Okay. I don't want you to be convicted.
Okay. I'm convicted about Jake, though.
Sweet. I don't want to push you into the conviction, being convicted.
I wish we could do nine, though. Come on.
I know. Come on.
All right. Here are our picks. We're bullish on everyone. Everyone. Bullish on everyone. This is definitely not going to win. This is not the winning ticket, but it felt good along the way. It might be the most positive ticket we've ever had.
It's not about winning, really. Losing money is totally fine. It's about the positivity along the way.
It's about the vibes gleaned along the way. I'm submitting the entry. I'm flexing it out. That's how we do it.
Like the flex.
I want to see. Yeah, you got to do the flex. It's just a smart play. Have I won recently? No, not really. All this was I had for Monday night. I got Kirk Cousins.
But you did have the big win.
They got Barkley wrong. Come on, Barkley. Anyway, I don't want to talk. I knew Ray McLeod was going to. He almost did.
Ray actually had a pretty good game.
Ray. So look, you want to play the sleeper pick game like me and Jesse? Be cool like us. Down the app. Use promo code CONE. Get a deposit match up to $100. And what's cool about when you use that promo code is you instantly get entered to win a signed Ricky Pearsall jersey. I saw him today in the locker room. He was shooting jump shots, set shots. And let me tell you, he was draining them, which clearly means that he's going to return to football at some point in his life. So you want to be the first one with a Pearsall jersey and have his signature on it, promo code CONE, sleeper app, and you get entered to win a giveaway that probably a few dozen people bothered to enter. There you go. Okay, let's move on.
I like it.
I have some stats. Now, I'm going to talk about Purdy's last seven games. You might feel like that's an arbitrary number. The reason I'm picking seven is because that's when the Ravens game happened. That's when he went from being, this is the MVP of the league, to, oh my God, this is the first real butt kicking he has experienced. So that's sort of chapter two of Brock Purdy's career starts on that night. And since that night, that's seven starts, four wins.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
3 losses, 6 touchdown passes in 7 games, 6 interceptions, 1 lost fumble, which looked like an interception, and his 87 quarterback rating. Is this a statistical anomaly? Is this a product of playing some good defenses? Or has the book on Purdy been published and are people reading it?
So let me make sure that I understand it. Is it including that night at the Ravens?
Yes, it's including that game. So okay. 6 picks, 4 were in 1 game.
Okay, but 3 total turnovers, 6 total touchdowns. So the touchdowns are way down, though. That is clear.
7 total turnovers.
Okay.
But if we take those four away,
I'm saying they're
in one game, right? 3 total turnovers.
That's a big chunk. Yeah.
Three total turnovers, six touchdowns in 7 games. So I think really the most surprising thing is the lack of touchdowns from Brock. As soon as he took over this offense, they were scoring so many more touchdowns than when Jimmy was the quarterback.
Yeah, you know, what I will say is, before we get into the full Brock thing, you've got 6 touchdowns. He had 0 in the Ravens game, so 6 touchdowns in 6 games, which that means that this scoring problem preceded the injury to CMC even, you know, and now the injury to Debo. One of those games was against Washington. I imagine maybe 2 of the touchdowns probably came in that game. So he's not,
that's right.
He's not throwing.
His only multi-touchdown game in the last 7 was against Washington. He had 2.
Yeah. Okay. So basically he's throwing for 1 touchdown a week. Now touchdown stats are interesting because, you know, if you run them in, but you're still scoring a lot, that's great. But I also know that in those games, they haven't put up a ton of points in those games. I mean, we know against the Jets, yeah, they put up 30. Washington, I'm sure they scored fine. But you go the rest of those games, like Baltimore, obviously not. Last week, no. In the playoffs, we were like,
Baltimore was 19. Washington was 27. Green Bay, 24. Detroit, 34. Kansas City, 22 with overtime, 19 in regulation. Mm-hmm. Week 1, they 32. Scored, what, 30-something points, but it was 6 32. Field goals, 32 points. Yeah. And then last week, 17. So again, it's really hasn't been the same level of offensive efficiency that they had earlier in the season.
Yeah. Okay. So I think both things can be true here. I think the league has caught up to Brock a little bit. Yes. I think that's clear. But is the book out on him? No, not necessarily. I think this is something that most fans should probably expect. All young quarterbacks go through this. They have that dip where it's like, they're ahead of the league at some point. Mm-hmm. Like if they come out on fire, it's like clearly Brock was ahead of the league. Mm-hmm. And now the league figures you out. Mm-hmm. Now, normally that happens in year 2, but remember, yes, last year was technically year 2 for Brock, but was it really? Because he had such a short amount of games the first year. It's not like he started week 1. So really year 2 kind of happened towards actually that game. If you look at it, because he played what, 5-6 games the year before. By the time he got to the Ravens game, he's basically in year 2 as far as games played. And so, yes, the league now has a book on you and they've caught up. But now it's up to Brock Purdy to know what that book is and throw something at him that they're not prepared for and be over-prepared. And so, yes, the book is out. The league has figured him out a bit. But that doesn't mean that it's over forever for Brock. It just means that he now has to counteract whatever they're throwing at him. And I think the cool thing is that Brock has seen enough defenses now to where it's like, okay, I know what I'm looking at. He just can't have a week like last game. The last game was
He didn't know what he was looking at last week. And I feel like he would admit it. We'll see what he says tomorrow.
He kind of did admit it because he told them, hey, your scheme is crazy.
Dude.
And you just watch him play. Grant, can you remember a time that multiple times in a game that Brock hit his back foot and stood flat-footed in the pocket? Like, I don't know what's going on.
He was doing a Jimmy Garoppolo impression, and it was dead on. It was dead on. It's crazy.
It was dead on.
It's like, wow, that's actually impressive, like how much your voice sounds like him right now. It's crazy.
And to be honest, the Ravens game was awful statistically. But I never thought that he just was like so baffled and almost like
there
defeated.
Were some where passes.
Like, I don't know what's going. Yeah, so there were some weird things that happened. Yeah. But he was battling, and that was good to see. That was encouraging to see. In this game, it again, this is why statistics are so deceiving. Statistically, oh, he's leading the league in passing and he put up 300 yards. And it's like, okay, that's true. But if anybody watched that game and watched the Jets game, which statistically doesn't hold the candle to what he just did, and thinks for even a second that he looked better in week two than week one, respectfully, you don't know what you're watching. You just don't.
Well, I think it's helpful to be able to go back and watch the film, because when it's happening, you're like, wow, you know, he's under pressure and he's making tight window throws and he's really battling. And then you go back and watch the film. It's like, well, actually, he's holding the ball too long and he's bringing the pressure on himself, and he doesn't really know what he's looking at. And the fumble, the ball slipped out of his hand as he was throwing indoors. Like, we already know he has trouble when it's raining, man. But like, it was indoors and just humid. And he was like, so yeah, it might have been his worst start ever.
It was bizarre for sure.
It was worse than he did last year against the Vikings, which is kind of troubling. It's your second time seeing this scheme. You've seen it before.
Yeah, and last year it was like, oh, well, he's concussed. That's why the interceptions happen. Well, it's like, well, it didn't look better this year. In fact, it looked worse, because he actually did look really, really good up until the point of being concussed and throwing the two picks. So this game, he was okay. But I mean, even his completions, like, you really go through it, he had Brandon Ayuk open, wide open for a touchdown on the, where they ended up going for it on fourth down and not getting it, wide open. I mean, wide open, just never throws his way. And by the time he does, he throws him out of bounds, but Ayuk was way open. So you have that play. You have the two throws to Debo that were complete, that were extremely high and off target. Brock's normally pretty money with his ball placement. And then the interception to Juice. When he hits his back foot, he's looking to the right. Then he hitches up. And as he hitches up, he's looking at Juice. If he throws it on time the way that he normally does, that's a completion. But he hitches up again. And by the time he had started to hitch up, linebacker is breaking on the ball. And he throws it right to him. That's it. It's over. So a lot of things were out of character for Brock. A lot of things we didn't see. He's got to clean it up. I think the Rams are a great way to do that. So yes, has the league caught up to him? For sure. Does that mean they have to stay caught up to him? Absolutely not. It's on Brock now to catch up to the league and surpass them again.
It's a good answer. It doesn't mean get rid of Brock. It also doesn't mean give him $65 million a year. It doesn't. I mean, it does mean keep him. Because look at the quarterbacks who are doing well this year. Like, some young guys, like Stroud is a hell of a quarterback. But it seems like the theme of this season is like veterans who kind of on their second team, maybe having career renaissances now that they've gotten a lot of reps, like Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr. Those guys were left for dead. And I'm not saying they're elite, but they're good and they're not overpaid and they're vets and they seem to know what the hell they're doing and they're playing their best football. Brock could have a moment like that when he's 29 too, but it seems like right now at 24, 25, like it's harder for him. And what's hard is playing with Christian without Christian for the first time. I think we've talked about this a lot, like the Christian McCaffrey effect. What is it? And I don't think, like, when the coach and I were talking about it, we both were like, well, they can still run the ball without Christian, which is true. Mm-hmm. But the passing game really is affected by his absence. And I think Purdy in particular, because we've never seen him like just hold the ball forever. If he goes through his reads and no one's open, he can just dump it down to Christian and does frequently, but he can't do that anymore. And now we're seeing him play like prime Jimmy. It's strange.
Well, I mean, I think there's something to it. And remember, that was my argument. I said,
yep,
this team, look at what it looked like for Jimmy G for five games. I know it's a small sample size.
You're dead right.
Jimmy Garoppolo the year after turned completely into a pumpkin. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he wasn't far removed from playing the best five games of his career. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even statistically what mattered. It's how comfortable he looked. There was all the jittery G jokes. That was gone. He looked so calm in the pocket. He wasn't moving his feet and panicking. It's like he always knew he had the option. And all we've seen from Brock Purdy is knowing that CMC is there, and now he's not there, and it looked fine week one. I mean, statistically, it wasn't great, but
there was no pass rush.
Looked fine. There was no pass rush, and in week two, there was, beyond enough pass rush, or at least the perception of pressure, and so we see what it means to not have CMC. So we'll see. I mean, we're gonna go a few games without him. I think luckily They don't play the best defenses. The Patriots are pretty good, but the Cardinals are not a good defense. The Rams are not a good defense. So I think they can skate out of this, but it is something that we have to note. I want to throw this out there because you were talking about how it's a resurgence. Yards per attempt leaders this league. Derek Carr at 11.4. Baker Mayfield at 9.7. Sam Darnold at 9.5. Josh Allen at 8.8. And Brock Purdy at 8.5. I retweeted it and said, sounds like the four best quarterbacks in the league and Josh Allen to me. So, I mean, these guys are, other than Purdy and Allen, the top three are like, dude, what? How?
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Wave 9 says, respectfully, Jesse, the Niners losing to the Rams will not cost us the one seed. Cowboys losing to the Ravens and Eagles losing to the Saints. Respectfully. Okay, we'll see.
Respectfully, I wouldn't worry about those teams necessarily being the number one seed either.
I don't want to worry about Jesse too, but where are your Larry shows? I was traveling on Monday, so Larry and I will catch up later this week. Wave 9 says, 2016 Derek Carr, Saints are severely underrated. We'll see if they can keep it up. Same team as last year, but they have a new offensive coordinator. Resilient Motto says, Jesse, do you ever get weird looks for being a Niner fan in Florida? Have you ever seen other fans there?
I actually see a lot of Niner fans. There's a full chapter out here. But no, I don't ever get weird looks for it.
It's definitely a countrywide brand. I mean, I think there's probably more Niner fans than in Jacksonville than, not that you live in Jacksonville, but more Niner fans in Jacksonville than Jacksonville fans in Jacksonville. I was going to say Tampa. Yeah. Tampa won a Super Bowl. I can't say that. I don't know.
No, there's some, Tampa runs pretty deep here. They love their team.
Michael Vander Voort says, what chances do you give Fred to win Defensive Player of the Year?
Pretty high.
I give him a pretty good chance. I'll give him a pretty good chance. He's getting a lot of hype. Everyone knows he's the best at his position. His position doesn't often win, but he's stuffing up the stat sheet. Joseph Ernberg says, trade B.A. and Purdy for Pickens and Russell now.
Absolutely not. No.
That was definitely a Steelers fan.
That is pretty funny.
Let's rank the starting quarterbacks in the NFC West from worst to best, because it looks like to me there's four good quarterbacks in this division.
Yeah, I mean, statistically, Geno Smith is right up there right now. It's so weird. Gardner Minshew's there. This is the most bizarre thing.
It's very hard. Because I started looking into quarterbacks last seven games, and I looked at Geno. I looked at Kyler. I didn't look at Stafford, although I know his are pretty good too, not counting the last two. And Brock's aren't up to his normal standard, but he did go to a freaking Super Bowl. So how would you rank him right now, knowing that this could change next week?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, after two games, I don't think I'm going to change what my rankings were entering the season. I still don't fully trust Geno Smith. I think Geno, to me, Geno's better than people give him credit for, but better means, I don't know, 14th to 18th in the league, depending on what's going on around him. So I would put him there. I think Kyler is locked in at top 15. But from a talent aspect, I mean, the guy's probably top three from a pure talent standpoint. It's just a matter of when he puts it together. When he puts it together, Kyler is the most dangerous quarterback in the NFC when he puts it together. But the problem is that consistency hasn't been there. So until I see the consistency, I can't go that route. Brock Purdy, to me, what he's done in his short career and showing the consistency, even though talent-wise he's not near what Kyler Murray is, I at least know what I'm going to get from him. Or up until now, up until recently, I've known what I'm going to get from him. If he looks bad against the Rams, I would probably flip-flop those two, because it's like, all right, now you're not consistent anymore. But I'll give him the benefit of another week. And then Matthew Stafford is the best quarterback in the NFC. He's a top seven quarterback in this NFL. I don't really care what anybody says. I get he'll turn the ball over and have some weird things, but Matthew Stafford is clutch. Matthew Stafford has a Super Bowl. There's not a throw that Matthew Stafford cannot make. And Matthew Stafford is extremely tough. Watching him, he was concussed against the Lions last year. His eyes rolled in the back of his head. He looked like he passed out. He popped up and then just torched them the rest of the game. It was absolutely incredible. Matthew Stafford is amazing. So I'll go with Matthew Stafford, number one.
Okay. I like your ranking very much. Let me try to do one myself. So I'm going to have to put Geno Smith last, although in his last seven starts, he has 12 touchdowns, 10 passing, 2 rushing, and 3 picks. So he is, he's a good quarterback. He's probably better than Darnold. We just think of him as a bum because he always looks terrible against the 49ers. But, yeah, you know, the Ravens probably think Brock Purdy's a bum, or the Vikings probably think Brock Purdy's a bum. So you can't necessarily base it all on how he plays against one team. But still, I would say that he's number four. Number three, I would put Brock. And again, I don't want to piss anyone off. I think he's a very good quarterback. I would put him at three. I'm going to put Kyler at two. And maybe people feel it's too premature. Maybe it is, all right? Here's my argument. Throw out everything he did with Cliff Kingsbury. Just throw that shit out. And focus on him coming back last year and playing for Jonathan Gannon and Drew Petzing, as I believe is his name. He's in the Kubiak-Shanahan tree. They're running like a standard offense now. And in the last seven games, which is a totally arbitrary number, last seven games, 12 touchdowns, three picks for Kyler Murray, just like Geno.
It's not arbitrary. And the reason it's not for Kyler specifically, maybe it is for Geno or Stafford, whoever. But for Kyler, it's not, because he was coming off of a devastating injury and it took him a few games to get fully back. So for him, it's actually not arbitrary. And he was with the new offensive coordinator as well. He was trying to learn that. So I don't think that's an arbitrary number for him specifically.
Not to talk too much about Kyler, because Niner fans for sure don't care. But the way I see about it is, like, when he had DeAndre Hopkins in his prime, he was putting up numbers and they were winning. Even with Cliff Kingsbury, who's awful. He's the offensive coordinator for Washington right now. And I think they're throwing like 38% of their passes behind the line of scrimmage. So Cliff Kingsbury, his whole offense is throwing the ball sideways. And I don't get it, because Kyler has a freaking cannon. So now he's in an offense where he's allowed to throw the ball down the field and it looks good. He also has a wide receiver who can get down the field in Marvin Harrison Jr. And so far it looks good. So I admit I'm maybe jumping the gun, but if you watch what he did last week against the Rams, there are so many plays where you're like, I don't know how many other guys could do that. I don't know how many other guys could do that. Not just Purdy. I don't know if Stafford could do that. No.
That's what I'm saying. He's the most talented in the NFC. I think if you were to pull coaches, defensive coordinators throughout the league and say, who is harder to game plan for, Kyler or Brock? I think the unequivocal, I mean, probably it might be like 32-0 on this. They would be like, yeah, Kyler. That doesn't necessarily make him the better quarterback. And true. I respect where you're going.
He's for sure better athlete.
See it more. But as far as like striking fear in somebody's heart, Kyler Murray is up there with Lamar, Allen and Mahomes. Like, it's those four guys. But can you do it consistently? That's the hard part.
So far, it's been seven games. We'll see. Won four of them. So he has a lot to prove. And of course, Stafford, the Super Bowl winner, can't knock him because his receivers are hurt. Mm-hmm. Okay. Rob Gronkowski went on the Kay Adams show today. And I love him and Tom Brady because, like, they can be so candid. They're the GOATs. They've won a bajillion Super Bowls. They can say whatever they want about any player, any coach, and those players have to take it and say, yeah, we love Rob, even though that really hurt. So why don't you tell people what Rob said about the Niners?
Man, so Rob was on the Kay Adams show, and he was asked about Brock Purdy. And he quickly answered, yeah, you know, the question was, do you think Brock Purdy, essentially, like, is he as good as people think? And can he prove himself over this few game stretch without Debo and CMC? And he's like, yeah. But he quickly brushed that question off and went into in-depth what is going on with the 49ers. And he's like, I don't understand it. This is the most talented team in the league. They've got weapons upon weapons upon weapons. Even without Debo and CMC, they've got more than enough to be explosive. Why are they not scoring 40 plus a week like the Saints? And he goes, this isn't just a this year problem. This is a last year problem. And he's like, the only thing that I can think of is that they don't have the it guy. And Kay Adams quickly was like, well, Rob, what about Ayuk? And he's like, yeah, no, Ayuk's cool, but he's not an it guy. Well, what about Kittle? He's like an it player. But I mean, when I say it, I mean, get me the damn ball with the game on the line. It.
He meant, and like, so me. He said like me, like Edelman.
Like Tom was delivering the ball. And he basically, and she, it was so funny, bless her heart, because she was really like trying to, are you sure that you want to go down this path? But what about this player? Or what about CMC? Or what about Debo? And he was like, no, these guys are not it players. Because if they were, with a coach like that, with the talent that they have, they would have won and they would be dominating the league. There shouldn't be a team that can hang with this offense, yet they are because they're holding themselves back. I just thought it was refreshing to hear an honest opinion from someone that quite frankly doesn't give an F. He beats to his own drum. And what are you going to do? I mean, this is a four-time Super Bowl champion on two different teams. If anybody knows what it takes to be an IT player, I would think it's Rob Gronkowski. And his point was, there's so much talent on this team that it seems like when the game is on the line, they're all looking at each other like, he'll do it. No, he'll do it. Well, he'll do it. Instead of being like, no, I will do it.
My moment.
And what it made me think of, Grant, divisional game a couple years ago against the Green Bay Packers. When the 49ers snuck into the playoffs week 18, it was 3rd and 7. Debo said, give me the ball. I'll go make it happen. And he did. He iced that game on that run. They were able to kick the game-winning field goal and get out of Lambeau with a win. Debo has been that guy in the past. I don't know that he is that guy today, but I thought it was super interesting that Rob is talking about the 49ers in a completely different fashion than anybody else in media.
I love that. Absolutely. Christian, I feel like, has some of that in him, although once he fumbled in the Super Bowl, I feel like he stopped being that guy. He used to demand the ball, and ever since, I mean, after that, you go back and watch his runs after that. He didn't run particularly hard. I don't think he broke one tackle after he fumbled. So, And also, your IT guy can't be the freaking running back. The running back is not going to get you a Super Bowl trophy. He might get you to the Super Bowl, but I can't remember. I mean, Terrell Davis did it 30 years ago, but it's essentially not going to happen. So Rob's right. Like George Kittle, you see yourself as a Hall of Fame tight end. How have you allowed Kyle Shanahan to overlook you your entire career? Like, you're not going to make it in the Hall of Fame because you didn't say anything about it. And you have like 30 something touchdown catches when you should have 60 or more. So,
In the playoffs. He does nothing in the playoffs.
Absolutely nothing. And frankly, neither is Ayuk. And Ayuk, he wants the ball. He'll complain when he doesn't get it, but he doesn't demand it. Kind of whines when he doesn't get it, but he doesn't demand it the way an IT guy would, the way Julian Edelman did, or Jerry Rice did, or Travis Kelce does, or Antonio Brown would have. So, yeah, I have to agree. And this is coming from someone who's won lots of Super Bowls, not just one, knows what it takes.
Well, and again, I think Debo has that mentality because you've seen it, right? Like teams like the Rams or the Eagles that piss him off, he just holds that grudge. But in the Super Bowl, he was the focal point and he didn't produce. I don't know that Debo might have that mentality. I don't know if he can do it though. I don't know if he's good enough anymore to be that guy on the biggest stage. He was given his chance and I'm sure he relished in it, but he got hurt. And then he just was almost a non-factor, even though he got targeted like 11 times.
Yeah. So he can't be the IT guy. I love the concept, and I'd like to see someone step up and take it. Obviously, it should be Brandon. They're paying him to be that. You get $30 million a year on average, and you can't demand the ball? Like, that's what they're paying you to do? If you want it, you get it. Don't just talk about afterward like, oh, it should have went to me. Don't forget the guy who got you there. Like, say something now. And speak up, because we can't hear you, man. Ever since he got paid, I can't hear him anymore.
I can't hear him. Yeah.
You know, just doing pretty good. And it's like, what? Huh?
Well, I'll tell you, Brandon Ayuk.
I'm deaf in this year. I just can't hear you. Sorry.
Brandon Ayuk has to be that guy this year. But if you're going to pay Brock Purdy $60 million, he has to be that guy going forward.
That's the truth. Kilo T Dub says, what are the chances Jimmy gets some snaps for the Rams this Sunday? I'm hoping that it happens. I'm not hoping for an injury, but just some circumstance where Jimmy has to play. I want it. Need it.
Food poisoning or something stupid.
I need it in my life. I want it in my life. Wave 9 says, we're lucky Kyler is on a poverty franchise. What team has fewer fans than the Cardinals?
Got to be the Panthers now, right? Who can root for that franchise? What a disaster.
That's a good point. Grant, you're not jumping the gun. Swap K1 and Brock. You get in trouble talking Niner fans like that.
Well, listen, I will say this. I said that I have Brock ahead of him from a consistency standpoint. But Brock's a lot closer to... Kyler Murray's a lot closer to Brock than Brock is to being an actual elite quarterback. I'll say that.
Also, statistically, Geno's been better than Brock the last seven games. Moving on, Kilo TW says, we do have an IT guy. Only problem is he's on, we do have an IT guy. Only problem is he's on defense equals Fred. We got to leave in like 1 minute. But I want to say something. Nick Bosa said something today.
Okay.
Who is he talking about? Aaron Donald. Someone asked him, do you think Aaron Donald could come back and play? Like, you know, no training camp, come out of retirement. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm sure he could. He's good enough to do it. But he said, you know, he played 10 years in the league and got out without being seriously injured. That's kind of the dream. And I was like, what was that? Played 10 years in the league, got out. That's the dream. Oh, so he's in year six. So I'm just throwing that out there. Maybe four more years of Bosa. I think that's the plan.
Oof. Which would get him through his contract, right?
That's the dream. Kevin Crittenden says Kyle is the IT guy. That's what he wants. Oh, no, that's a great point.
Kyle's not the
IT guy. It's hard to assert yourself when the head coach already has. All right, everyone. Make sure you like the stream, subscribe to the channel. Also, subscribe to Jesse's channel, Last Second Sports, and tune in tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, for the four-man front, the only four-man roundtable featuring me and Jesse and the coach and Ryan. Kind of like the Power unique, Rangers really. Or the Beatles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. See you guys.
Yeah.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.